year of increase. And we've spoken many a times about, since January to now, about what we mean by increase. We looked at asking and learning about what it means to have increase in our finances and increase in the area of success. And we walked through the life of Isaac, and we've come to this point now where the very thing that we're asking God to increase is the very thing we need to learn about. Now, I only have 32 minutes. That's all I'm going to preach. So that's all you're going to get out of me, too. So let me make my time, let me use my time wisely. Now, I want to give you a definition based upon the last sermon that I preached. If you don't understand, I hear people say all the time, faith is this, faith is that. But let me give you a simple definition for faith. And here it is. Faith is believing that God is telling the truth. Write it down. Faith is believing that God is telling the truth. And so increasing what we already have is not just a superficial supernatural experience or phenomenon. It is something that is actual. Faith is facts over feelings. Faith is function over feel good. Faith is something that can be true to all of us if we focus on it. Biblical faith does not deal with the unreal, listen to this, the imaginary, the factual, fictional, visionary, you know, but biblical faith is the knowledge experienced and the possession, actual possession of things hoped for. Does that make sense? I know that's a lot. You can go back and watch it. But faith is knowing what is real and then experiencing what is real. All right? Now, here's the thing. Most people's imagination, it plays tricks on them when it comes down to understanding what faith really, really is. So what is the definition I gave you? All right, this is supposed to be a rhetorical moment, but I just gave you the floor, right? So here it is. Faith is believing that God, listen to me real good, not me, but God is telling the truth. Now, faith means that you don't believe for 1 second that this word is a lie. Because this is how God communicates that truth. All right? Now, that word truth, I'm going to sound a little educated for you for a few minutes. It's called epistemology. That word epistemology just simply means that it's the study of what's true, what's real. And so I've had a long journey trying to understand this thing called faith. And what I found out is that When you're walking by faith, you have to act accordingly. You have to look the part. Come on, help me somebody. I never forgot when I went from rags to rags. Come on, help me somebody. I landed in Miami Beach with a duffel bag, with one pair of pants and a stained up shirt. And then I had an interview. And I walked up in that interview with my stuff, and the lady looked at me and she pitied me. She said, "You look like you need some help." I said, "I need a job is what I need. I don't need a help, I need a job." Miss Jackson, Miss Modest Jack, I'll never forget her. I wasn't even saved. But I walked into that interview like I already had the job. I wish I had somebody. See, sometimes God got to take you through some stuff for you to remind yourself of where you've been. See, don't get so, sadiddy where you forget when you were unhirable. You remember those days? Yeah, when nobody would touch you. You were like a leopard. Yeah, you're like, "I ain't fooling with you. I ain't fooling with you. You talk a good talk." Oh, come on, help me somebody. But no, we ain't hiring this week. Not you, at least. Come on, help me somebody. God can do that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm saying? To get your attention. And so faith is this thing that you already walked in there believing. I didn't even believe in God. I was believing in something. I was believing in myself. Oh, I'm finna hope somebody here today. Watch this. And I believe that's exactly where your faith is. Your faith is in your ability. Your faith is in your smarts. Your faith is in, "Oh, I can do this." God says, that ain't faith. Because you ever notice how you always come up short? Because, watch this, that's not consistent with what Scripture says. And so, before I lose myself, let me get back up here. Before I lose myself. and remember what I said last week. The context to this passage, listen to me real good, saints. The more I look at it, the more I see it. The context to this passage is persecution. Pressure. All right? Listen, false teachers had came into the church. And check this out. I'm so glad you're here today. I really am glad you're here today to get this. Let me show you. Look at verse 19 for real quick. It says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh." And watch this. "And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near." You see what I'm saying? He says, listen. Because Jesus died, and because he was buried, and because he rose from the dead, you and I have something now that we didn't have before. Here's what we do have. Here's what he says he has. He says that we ought to draw near. I'm trying to help somebody. See, here's the thing. If your faith is going to work, you got to know, listen, living your life standing in the back row. Come on, help me somebody. Watch it. Shrinking back. "I ain't going to church today. We ain't going to church tomorrow. We ain't going next week." You already made up your mind. Watch this. You even missed Easter. Let us draw what? Near. Listen. Can I ask you a question? Do you not know that the moment that you think in your mind not to come close to God, there's a problem? Come on, help me somebody. Here's the problem you got. Problem is you ain't got no help now. Come on, somebody. Here's the problem you have. You have no hope now. Now listen, you have grace, but you really need hope and you need some help. Anybody need some help? He says, because Jesus died, we can draw near, watch this, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Watch what he says, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? That word again, wavering. You know what that word wavering means? It means to vacillate. So what is he doing? False teachers had come in and told them, hey, check this out. You don't need church. You don't need this God thing. You don't need, come on, man. You could do this on YouTube. You could do it on Facebook. You can do it there. But there's nothing like walking into the house of God, sitting under the power of the Word of God, and watch this, watching your life change. See, the problem is people don't stay long enough to see their change. They come through the doors, they get a word, but they don't stay because guess what? It's taking too long. Come on, help me somebody. But the more you draw near to God, come on, tell your neighbor, draw near to him. Tell your neighbor, you can do it. He says, hold fast without wavering. Let us consider, verse 24, let's check it out. Let us consider, I got 21 minutes and 39 seconds. We got a little minute. Watch this. Let us consider what? How to what? Stimulate one another. To what? Love and good deeds. You know what he's saying there? He's saying not only do you draw near, but you get along with the people that you're sitting next to. Because you're going to need somebody to hear your cry every now and then. To watch this, to pray for you, to encourage you. He says, let us consider how to what? Stimulate, amen, one another. That word means to have a sharp agreement, not a disagreement. Watch what he says. He says, with love and good deeds. Now look at verse 25. You got to check out verse 25, y'all. See, somebody had convinced them. You see verse 25 on the screen? I see it. Look what it says. It says what? Not what? Put it on the screen so we can see. Not what? Not what? Forsaking. See, pressure will cause you not to come to church. But it should be the opposite. Pressure. Matter of fact, you should have been running before that pressure came. You should have been committed that even before the pressure came in on you. But see, what was happening in this context is the fact that these people were convinced that the pressure I was getting is because I was going to church. They were becoming superstitious. What they didn't understand is that in this life called Christianity, and in being a Christian, you are going to be tested. God is going to test you because God wants you to become real, rated R. He wants you to be real, real. He doesn't want you to be, watch this, sometimes real. Eventually, your word, your yes will be yes. Eventually, your no will be no. Come on, help me somebody. I know some Christians have been Christians a long time. And you can't trust the word that they say because their no is yes. And their yes is no. And then you got maybe in between all that. But look what he says. He says, not forsaking the assembling together. Watch this. As is the habit of some. How can we stimulate one another to love and good deeds if we don't show up? If we are every now and then member. There's a category for that. And then we get to verse 1 of chapter 12. You got the context now? Look what he says. He says that now, what? Faith. I already went over that with you, right? Is the what? Assurance. We already dealt with the word assurance, right? And the word assurance means substance, confidence, and evidence. And so, how do we increase our faith? I'm glad you asked me, and I'm going to answer. Let's look at the B part of the verse. He says, now faith is the assurance of what? Now, remember this. In your Bible, is it italics? It is. So what that means is that word was not there in the original language. They just put it there to make sense. Because the sentence would not have made sense if the things was there. Now watch this. I don't believe in my theological mind, and I believe I'm qualified to make this statement, that when you put the word things in front of faith, you are doing faith a disservice. Because watch this. If I put my faith in things, hallelujah, that's not faith. So the writer was trying to make sense of the situation, and sometimes you can mean good but mess up the situation. The text says, faith is the evidence of what? Things. Right? What? Hope for. So if we remove the thing and we put God. See, here's what I believe about this faith thing, increasing your faith. Your object of faith has to be God. All right? So the first thing you need to know is this. Our faith will increase when we place our expectation in God alone. Lord, I'm expecting it. Now listen, I have a motto in life, and you know, I'm gonna write about this one day. It's being written now. That I expect, so I don't get disappointed by people. I really don't. And it's very rare I get disappointed by people. So here's the thing. So I live by this motto. I expect nothing, but I hope for the best. So you see what I'm saying? Like, I expect nothing, but I'm hoping, man. I hope he shows up. I hope she shows up. But if she doesn't show up, I'm like, well, shoot, it's okay. Because I what? I expected nothing. But with God. Come on, help me, somebody. Somebody here, you got to change your expectation of God. I believe the things that you put before the hope part is not God. I believe in you put your ability there. I think you put your smarts there. I think you put your good looks there, or your no good looks there. But what I'm trying to say is you are putting something there that's replacing God, and that's the reason why I believe you're not increasing in your faith. You got faith. You woke up this morning. You got in your car, you drove down to 288 and you got here. Come on, help me, somebody. You got some faith. Now watch this. He says the things hoped for. Now this is a verb. Watch this. It's a present passive participle. What does that mean? Now hold on, man. Listen, I didn't come here for a lesson. I came here to be helped. Watch this. Pay attention to this. It's present tense, which means the things that you're hoping for, you can have it right now. Watch this. Secondly, it's the passive voice, which means, watch this, the person that's receiving the action is the one that's being worked on. In other words, you ain't doing nothing, but because your hope is in God, watch it, not in the thing that we don't know what the thing is, watch this, but you're hoping in God, God is working on you. God is in essence at this moment right now. If you say, Lord, increase my faith. The thing hoped for. Do I have anybody? I want to tell you, the God we hope in. Come on, help me, somebody. When we expect it, the expectation is in God's ability. Come on, somebody. How many know he's strong? Come on, somebody. How many know he's a mighty tower? How many know he's a wheel in the middle of the wheel? How many know he's a way maker? A promise keeper? Hey, light in the darkness. And when you know God like that, you can expect him. How many expecting him to show up? The devil will make you think he ain't going to show up for you. But can I tell you something? He will always show up. He's always on time. The text says the assurance of things hoped for. The what? The conviction. Now. This is the part right here. Man, let me see right here. I got a few minutes now. Watch this here. The minutes done went. the conviction. Now, the word conviction is what it means. The word conviction means proof. All right, so I'm gonna break it down like this. It does not merely imply the charge on the basis of which a person has been convicted, but it's the manifestation of the truth that that charge is true. And it result, the results are to be reaped. In other words, you guilty. And we know you guilty. You can't lie and say, it wasn't me. I got Ring doorbell, it was you. And you may try to hide, put your hand through the thing, but Ring got you. All right, now watch this, watch this. I'm gonna say it again. It means I have evidence on you that you're guilty. And so the next thing you need to do, if you're gonna increase your faith, our faith will increase when we believe, God exists and his what? Now, I did put on there earlier, I said before I doctored it up a little bit, I said, you must be found guilty for your faith in God. I'm going to say it one more time. You must be found what? Guilty with your faith in God to say, yes, I do believe in God. But here's the thing. If you are convicted today and you don't believe that he exists, because you know why? Stuff ain't going right for you. See, we give up on God real easily. You know how we give up on God real easily? One thing go wrong. Car broke. This happened. You go to work, you're having troubles. All of a sudden, you start saying, no. What should I do? You call everybody but God. But can I help you with something? There has to be some form of evidence in your life. Come on, somebody. Listen. The thing about the kingdom is this. Up is down. And down is up. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is, if you were convicted for having faith, would you be found guilty? And that's the clue. And that's the way that if I'm going to increase my faith, I got to say, God, I believe you exist, and every promise that you made in your word is true. Here's what you said. You said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. You said I've been young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. Your word says the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this. I believe you exist, and I believe in your promises so much so that here's what you said. You says, give, and it will be given. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Will men give into your lap? And all I'm trying to say is this. If your faith is going to increase, you got to make sure that you believe that he does exist. He knows my yesterday. He knows my today. He knows my tomorrow. And here's how I move. I move like I live for God. People ask me, how you got there? I walk like I'm blessed because I know I'm blessed. I live like I'm blessed because I know I'm blessed. Does God want you to be blessed? You better believe it. You better believe it. He doesn't want you living the way you've been living. You tired and you want to turn in the towel, throw in the towel. But guess what? God says, I didn't bring you this far to leave you now. But if you don't have an expectation of me, and if you don't have a belief in me, then how can your faith grow? The next thing he says, faith is the conviction of things not seen. Our faith will increase when we can SBA it. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I wish I had somebody. That ain't it, baby. I wish I had somebody. I put the wrong thing up there. That's all right. Turn to your neighbor and say, what is SBA? Tell your neighbor, I'm going to tell you in a minute. Tell your neighbor, what is SBA? I'm going to tell you what SBA is. Let's look at the word. He says, faith is the assurance of things, I believe it, hoped for. I said hoped for. You see that? That word there suggests that it's something that I'm hoping for, but haven't seen it just yet. Listen, something that I so desire, but the word there, ready? It means to expect it. Tell your neighbor, expect it. Tell your neighbor, expect it. Now you got to say with some conviction, scare them. Expect it. Now watch this. Watch this now. Watch. I'm almost done. I'm finna sit down. Watch this. Watch this. He says the things hopeful, the conviction of things what? Tell your neighbor, you got an S-B-A it. What's the S-B-A it, Pastor? Here's some deep revelation. You ready? Now, let me explain to you what he says, things not seen. He means things not seen in the past. In the present and in the future. Wait a minute. So faith is me hoping those things you're regretting, those things that you thought you missed, you ain't missed it. You're still breathing. Those things, those opportunities that you think have left you, oh, that's just, it's just dead. It ain't going to ever happen for me. I promise you. Watch this. He says the things hoped for are the things in the past, present, and future, but you're believing a God who can do it. So you have to S-B-A it. What is the S-B-A? I'll tell you what it is. Ready? You got to see it. You got to believe it. And you got to act like you already got it. I'm going to say it one more time. You got to SBA it. Nudge your neighbor. Hit him in the ribs. Tell him, neighbor, you got to S. You got to see it. You got to be. You got to believe it. And lastly, whatever that is, you got to what? You got to achieve it and be it and all of that is. You got to see it. You got to believe it. And you got to act like you got the keys, man. You got the keys. I see it. I could see it right now. I could see. But the problem we have is, see, we see it, but our vision get dim. Because we want it on our time zone, in our timeline. Let me tell you something. God knows your deadline. I never forget when we bought our house. Boy, let me tell you something. Talk about some praying. It wasn't that we couldn't pay for it. It was because everything in the devil was thrown at us to try to put us before difficulties and difficult people, loan officers and people in the back end scrutinizing all our stuff and say, you don't need this. You need more of this. You got to get more of that. You got to get more. And I never forget this, y'all. Every time I pull up my house, I say every day, I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blessing. Watch this. Watch this. You ready? So one guy is saying no. The other guy is saying yes. It's a, God will always put a yes person who could fight for you. He's going to put somebody in that situation that's going to be fighting for you. Do I have anybody? And I want to tell somebody here today, it looked it bad. That's Ebonics. Yeah, it looked it real bad. And we were saying, man, we're going to have to move out of this place. Because guess what? The devil didn't want us to have what was already ours. We were paying for it. We were living in it. But they wanted the back doors. But I thank God. It was December 31st at 11 a.m. in the morning. We get a call. Come down to the title office because we're finna sign on this loan today. I wish I had somebody. I said it was December 31st. That was the last day to close this deal. Do I have anybody? The deposit was made. Everything was where it's supposed to be, and the devil was just trying to stop us. But the man says, I'll never forget, he says, Pastor, come on down here. Meet me at the title office. We're going to sign these papers at 11 a.m. At 1 o'clock, we were shouting. At 2 o'clock, we were celebrating. I wish I had somebody. We had keys in hand, and we were rejoicing because what the devil showed us, it was impossible. But God, come on, tell your neighbor, but God. But God, but God, we SBA it. We saw it, we believed it, and we act like we already had it. I wish I had somebody. I want to tell you something. To SBA it is to possess the reality, the actuality of holding something that's substantial, that's real, that's in your possession, and you ain't letting it go. Somebody here today, you think you can't. You better grab hold of it. 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 You better act like you already got it. You better say what you are. I am a lawyer. I am a doctor. I am this. I am a business owner. I am this. It's the possessing the reality and actually holding it. That's what that is. It's not wishful thinking. You already got the deed to the property. You already got the title to the car. You got to SBA it. When you SBA it, you'll see it come to pass. A lot of us give up before we get to our blessing. But I got one more thing and I got to go. Verse 2 says, for by it, what it? This kind of faith I'm talking about. The men of old. Next week, we're about to get into these men. We're going to take a journey through the halls of faith. And I'm going to show you by illustration through the lives of these men and women that your faith is really all you really need. He says right here, for it, by it, the men of old gain approval. So the last thing, our faith will increase when we live to please God. You see, you can't get approval from God if you're not living to please God. God is pleased when we believe him and his promises. This is the point of this verse. And when he's pleased, he'll give us his approval. How do we please him? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, by faith. How do we please him? 1 Samuel 15:22 says, by obedience. How do we please him? Micah 6:8 says, by love, justice, and humility. Matthew 22 and 37 says, you please God when you love your neighbor. Galatians 5, 16 says, when you live a spirit-filled life. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3 2:5 says, when you live in purity and sanctification. Oh, Hebrews 13:16 says, you can please God through generosity and a willingness to serve him. Psalm 69:30 says, when you worship and praise him. Do I have anybody here this morning who want to please God, who want to worship God, who wants your faith to increase? You got to love God. You got to live for God. You got to be obedient to God. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. You already got it in your possession. You already got hold of it. Walk in it. Talk in it. Live in it. There was a man named Smith. He was sitting on a roof during a flood. And the water came up to the roof. And all of a sudden he was praying, God, save me. All of a sudden the man showed up in a canoe with a paddle. Can I give you a lift to higher grounds? He said, no thanks. Smith says, I have faith in the Lord that he's going to save me. Soon the water rose up to his waist to the point where a motorboat pulled up and somebody called out, can I give you a lift? Smith said, no thanks. I have faith in God. He's going to save me. Later, a helicopter flew over and they dropped down the rope. They said, come on, Smith, we're going to pull you up. He says, no, I'm waiting on the Lord. All of a sudden, Smith died. He's at the pearly gates. Smith met his maker. And what's the first thing he did? He complained. He says, God, I've been serving you all my life. You told me if I walk by faith, if I wait for you by faith, guess what? You were going to save me. God says, well, Smith, I sent you a canoe. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. And you denied all of them. So that's not my fault. The reason you died, because you didn't have faith that I could work through people. The things you hope for, the things you see, all you gotta do is pay attention and God will give you what you've been waiting for. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, increase, increase, increase. Hallelujah, I'm done. Hallelujah. 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 Increase. God been sending you stuff and you've been overlooking. You think, I don't know. People been trying to help you. Oh, that's not my opportunity. That's not what I'm looking for. Bro. God says, I've been sending you help. See, but you're looking for something else. Because you think you're smart. But faith trumps smart all day long. Bible says God takes the foolish things of this world. You're looking at a fool right here. Straight up. To shame the wise. So don't be disappointed when you see people fall because they were foolish. But when they're really converted, they have a love for God. That's my story. I have a love for God because I know I was a fool. 3, 4, 6 time fool. I was a repeat offender. But God saw what nobody else could see. Aren't you glad that God sees what nobody else sees in you? The writer is saying, man, listen, them folk got you duped. They telling you don't come to church because, you know, they want your money. Really? Keep your money, man. See, when you're saved and you're really grateful, that's why you give. You don't give because you asked. And then some of you, you don't haven't even seen the principle because you haven't even tried it long enough. So, okay. But my question to you, right, is this, right? If you coming in every week and you seeing people leveling up and you still right here, you be like, well, what's going on? We in the same church. What's the difference? Difference is they're walking by faith. That's it. That's the difference. And your problem is just so deep that you got to stay home from the church where you come to get the word to live. Boy, Satan is deep. And then when he gets you here, he got you looking around at everybody. He got you all suspicious. Look at her. Look what she got on today. You know she shouldn't be wearing that in church. And God's saying, have you looked at yourself lately? You talking all that talk. But every time you get ready to throw a stone, look at the glass house that you live in. Because if I throw a stone back, yours going to crack just like mine going to crack. Now, black don't crack, but glass do. So you keep living in that museum, and God says, no, I can get through there too.